Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrews.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom, my sisters. Bless you all. Sister Ashley here, the host of Sister to Sister. I have at least, how many sisters right there? Four? Five sisters with me tonight in the background. One will testify soon. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. I hope you love tonight's show. I hope you get something from it. I hope the Father can speak to your heart. I'm thankful for his presence tonight. As always, he hears, he listens, and he even tests and proves our heart as we listen, seeing which direction we will go. So I'm in Tennessee. My co-host is in Georgia. Bless you. Welcome to the show, Sister Jennifer. Thank you for your faithfulness. Say something. Let's get a sound check.
Bless you, Sister Ashley, and thank you for having me on, and blessings to you all, daughters of Zion. This is Sister Jennifer with Straightway Georgia. I am the Ashaya of Elder Rufus, and it's an honor and a pleasure for me to be here. And thank you all for tuning in for another episode of Sister to Sister. We thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule just to be here with us and to be able to learn with us. I pray everybody can hear me. It looks like we're getting tens in the chat room, so I think we're good to go forward, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I acknowledge the Father tonight for our shepherd, for my husband and master of the house, Deacon Bill, for my sisters, the brethren, the unity, all that he's doing in his time. I guess I would keep it short by saying I thank the Father for enduring me. I thank my husband for enduring me. I thank my shepherd for enduring me in all three aspects, from the Most High's aspect to my husband's aspect to the shepherd's aspect. I will often reflect on the conflict that you have committed to a people that is, you know, stiff, committed to a wife who is stubborn, or committed to a body of believers that will cause you sorrow, you know, that will cause you grief, that you go to war for, that you lament for. And I cry. I literally do. I cry on behalf of those who are enduring me and enduring the body. But it must needs be. Paul said, I would that you all knew what great conflict I have for you. And he was speaking to a body of people that he wasn't present with. So tonight, for those of you who are listening that are scattered, that may or may have not even met our shepherd, I would that you knew what a great conflict our shepherd has for you. That's Colossians 2:1. And it says, for as many as you have not seen my face in the flesh, but that your heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches, and to the full assurance of understanding, and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of Yah, the Father of Christ, whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's encouraging the people that are scattered, that are separated, that are not surrounded by fellowship. You know, he says, unless any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And know this, no matter what your feelings feel like as you're scattered, as you're listening and following us, I thank you from the depths of our heart here at Straightway for your giving, for your offerings, for your support, for even just your prayers, for following our Creator. And I encourage you that your shepherd is with you in spirit. He knows you by spirit, and he's praying for you. Hallelujah. So thank you to my husband, who will often listen or go back and listen. Thank you to everyone who's given us an ear tonight. Sister Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I just first and foremost want to acknowledge the Most High for his continued faithfulness over us, you know, his people, and for his law that he placed in our hearts so that we can know what it means to obey him and know what it means to serve him, and for continually keeping covenant with us in spite of our flaws, in spite of our selfishness, our own selfish desires, our own selfish thoughts. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus that speaks on my behalf. And, you know, without it, I wouldn't have known what forgiveness is, or what it means to have compassion, or how to extend grace, or how to extend mercy. And I just want to acknowledge him for every single thing that he is to me every single day. And I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus. I'm so thankful to be his Ashaya, to be protected under his covering. You know, he's a man who has never run from an opportunity to grow. And, you know, with growth comes pain, and you just don't see a lot of people running toward growth because of the change that has to take place. And I'm so thankful to have such a mature man of Yah in my life that never runs from an opportunity to grow. And I'm so thankful for being in covenant with him for over 10 years, and the maturity that the Father has given us together. And I remember who I was before him, before meeting him, and I'm so thankful to belong to him and to be his possession. And I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, a true Jeremiah 3:15 man of Yah, for loving the people of Yah so much, and for teaching not only the men, but for teaching the women how to live for the Father in a Christ, in a society that is just so against Christ. You know, those who are deceived actually think that they're serving. Yeah, but this society is so against the mind of Christ. And we have a shepherd in Pastor Dow. We have a father. We have a brother. You know, we just have a true man of Yah, and his love for Yah is evident by the love that he has for Yah's people. And blessings to you, Pastor Dow, and your entire family for serving the people of Yah without any selfishness, without any hypocrisy at all. And we all love you very much. And shalom. And that's all we have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'm thankful to have been taught how to think, and that might come up a little bit tonight, being taught how to think, how to think a certain way. We must be trained and taught how to think. We must be. I definitely don't think anything like I used to, and the fruit of your thoughts is who you are. So just a couple of quick announcements. Vimeo.com, vimeo.com/straightwayairs. That's where you're going to find our children. Vimeo.com/straightwayairs. All videos will be posted there. Anything going forward will be posted there. You can find us, follow us. It's free. Please check it out. Add the little, what do you call it, app to your phone or whatever. Check us out. Follow us. Also, in times past, it's been quite a while since I mentioned it, but we had and we're still taking home birth stories. If you have a good home birth story that would encourage or uplift or even teach someone that is new to home birthing, Sister Erica Polydor has spearheaded that project, done a great job. We have over 30 testimonies. And imagine all 30 being different women, some their first time, some VBACs, vaginal birth after C-section, some people, I don't know, second, third, fourth child. Home birth, etc. So just a lot of experience in that pamphlet. If you're interested in reading it, you must contact her. If you're interested in giving your story to support those who may come behind you and learn, this is the email. All lowercase, erica.forever.yours. erica.forever.yours@gmail.com. Send your story or request your pamphlet. And she's not going to send pamphlets to just anybody, okay? So be faithful. Be faithful to us. We'll be faithful to you. We'll share what we have for you. Thanks to KGB 94 TV for Berean Moment. I enjoyed another episode. Also following your trial of faith, your fire, your pain, my brother, Praise Land, all of you. I am excited about the end result. No matter what it feels like and looks like, as he said out of his own words, Brother Kabir has said, it's one thing to watch it, to be entertained by it. That's another thing to live it and to go through it and to fast and stay on your knees and to have the emotions and the, you know, face the fears and face the giant, you know. So I hope that we're definitely lifting up our Brother Kabir. All things are well. Any announcements from your end, Sister Jennifer?
I don't have any announcements. Sister Ashley, you announced last week that we've got how many weeks until Passover? We need to really get ourselves together and make sure that we're getting our hearts right. It's coming up. It seems far away, but it's coming up very, very soon. Sister Ashley, how long do we have before Passover?
I think it's 12 weeks. I think I said, didn't I say 13 weeks last week?
Yes.
So 12 weeks till Passover.
Hallelujah. That's all
Hallelujah.
I have.
Yes, ma'am. So how does that all work? Well, when it starts getting a little bit closer, you'll have Pastor talk about it a little more. You might see some videos. You definitely want to, you know, get your finances ready for giving, for traveling. Be prepared to stay in a tent, buy a tent, have the things you would need for an awesome camping experience. Although it's tabernacling with the saints. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Contact anybody who's ever been before. You know, get their feedback. Get what they pack. Get what they do. You just don't want to ever come empty-handed. So for the next 12 weeks, I know that you can save something for the Most High, yeah. A free will offering, something off of, you know, give your best, give your all to the Father. So, really quickly, we got Sister Rachel coming tonight. She's from New York. Hi, New York sisters. She's behind me this time. She is not with you tonight. She's in Tennessee. And I know all of you want to be here too. Right? New York sisters, bless y'all. So I'm going to ask Rachel to share something coming up soon. And come on over to the seat. Come on over to the seat. My last, I have, if you're following the chat room tonight, you'll see that Chef has posted my Ally Max products on Facebook, at least the Facebook link. I can see it. So if you have any questions about going from store-bought cotton products or disposable products for your feminine hygiene and you want to have homemade or rewashable, reusable, you know, the idea at first is like, really, huh? Does that even exist? Maybe you're thinking that. But a lot of people use it. It's better for your body, et cetera, et cetera. So we won't go into it tonight, but I've been trying or meaning to for a long time to really support her and what she's doing. So Ally Max products or Ally Max pads. So I'll also do a video on the Help Meets channel coming up. I hope you like some of the clips that we've been posting on the Help Meets channel. That was just something that came in my heart recently. I contacted Sister Aya. I have Sister Ashley from Indiana and Sister Sakina, Chef, me, Aya. That's four of us that are finding clips. Like when we hear something that we love from our shepherds, from our pastor, from teacher, Eric, whatever channel that's affiliated with Straightway, especially if it's from a patriarchal teacher or a pastor, if we love that clip, we're going to post it. We rename it, throw it up there as a thumbnail, sometimes share the link on how you can find the video. But that's one of the changes you're going to see going forward on our channel. And it really is nice. As soon as we posted our first one, there was already haters, you know. So I'm like, oh, this is going to work. Because if you're just following us or following our show or just subscribe to us, et cetera, you're gonna get offended. So this is going to work. Thank you, Father, you know, for the idea. Sister Rachel, she's here with us. Jennifer, we're going to go to Rachel. Do you have anything before I do?
Bless you, Sister Rachel. It's good to have you on the land of Straightway, and it's going to be really good to hear your voice, and I look forward to what you have to say. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you, Mama Jennifer. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. It's a pleasure to be in this room, to be among the saints at Straightway. My time here so far, it's just been overwhelming with love, so much peace. I'm grateful for my family in New York. Thank you, Brother Steve, for allowing this trip to happen for me. It was timely. It was everything that I needed, and I just praise the Most High for Pastor, his family, all the saints here, and not one saint haven't, there's just everything has just been so beautiful in the way that I've been taken care of and how I can even attempt to serve the saints here at the most that I think I can, so I'm grateful to that. So blessings to everyone, blessings to Israel, and I'm going to share a testimony that Yahweh dropped on my heart early this morning.
Wait, before you do, I told you I would interject just a few questions. I'm not going to keep her long because she's not a woman of many words. She's really not. And she said, if something drops in my heart, I'll go on the show. When I asked her, I said, I understand, and I won't make you go onto the show just because you're visiting. But if you have something come up, let me know. And sure enough, the next morning, of course, it happens. Something comes up. But just give a real quick, you know, whatever. Take a couple minutes. Who are you? Why are we listening to you? What do you mean? How did you find us? What's going on? Who's Rachel?
I am a redeemed daughter of the Most High. I am a widow of Brother Dominic, who is no longer with us, who is a faithful brother. A sister, a friend, renewed mind, no longer the old man, desiring Yah daily, just seeking to be in him. I guess this is my new definition, in him.
In him,
yes.
Yes,
ma'am.
Hallelujah. Thank you. That's Rachel.
Yes,
so you've been with us how many years?
I would say three going on four.
Three going on four.
Now.
All right. Well, welcome. Your first time to the show, right? Second time to the show. Long time ago, just to say a few words.
Yeah,
it was a long time. Does that even count? Okay. All right, bless you, Sister Rachel. Go ahead. You got the spotlight.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Well, I definitely wanted to take the opportunity and never withhold what Yahweh has done for me since I've been this way. He's been good to me. He showed his goodness and his mercy unto me, and I'm grateful to Yah for that, for calling me to be a part of his people. He took me out of complete darkness, and he put me into his marvelous light. When I came to this truth, I came in with Brother Dominic. We weren't married, but we desired marriage. We came with that mindset here, so I was used to being under someone. So not being under someone directly now is different. It's a new light. But the testimony is just how much Yah has protected me and how much he's kept me and how much he's guided me since Brother Dominic's passing. I remember when, I think all of Israel knows, when he was going for healing constantly. I think this was during the time where I learned to pray more, because it's just like, wait, no, the power is real. Healing is real. I believed it, and I still do. I believed that he was going to be healed, and it took me fasting more, praying more, and in that, doing that, that's where I gained a true relationship. Not saying what I had before wasn't true, but it wasn't my all. I wasn't giving all then, at least now that I know how to, and I'm sure there's so much more I can continue to give in days to come. But I think that's where my relationship really started, and I remember him passing, and literally, I came home that day, and I'm like, okay, what do I do next? What is next for me? Because I got so used to serving him, taking care of him. And literally, I remember that night, my room was just so warm with Yah's presence. And maybe not instantly, but it clicked that if Yah was to take my earthly protection here, why him wouldn't he protect me? He wouldn't leave me. He wouldn't abandon me. And that's my testimony, that since then, he's been my strength. He's been my redeemer. The story of redemption has become something so much more beautiful to me. Not because I never believed it, but just when you experience something, the word in life, it's just become so much more real and so much more intimate and so much more beautiful to you. So I understand redemption, and I'm thankful to Yah for that. And I like to say to some sisters that, man, and in no disrespect, but Yah's got me all trapped and bound it up, because after Brother Dominic not being here, it's like, what else do I do? It's all that's left is to serve Yah. I have nothing to give. I have nothing else to do but to serve. And I'm so glad that this is where I was found, because though the expectation with my mind that he was going to be healed, and though he's not here, but he still won. He still gained that victory. Truly, Jesus gained that victory, and he gained it through Jesus. And for me, that makes me proud. For others, the thought of a status of a widow can be like, oh, man, like, you know, I wonder what she's going through, which is so compassionate of others. But the strength that he's given me, I would have never imagined before, because I was very fearful if this time were to come, how I would be. And I'm surprised of the strength that he's given me. I'm just so amazed by his love and how much he's covered me. I wrote something. So the last thing that I do want to share that's on my mind is that I find so much peace now being a widow and still grieving my late husband than in the life that I had before, with so much vain things. I had the clothes, I had the shoes, the makeup, the long, nice hair, all of that. You would have thought everything was going for me then, but there was so much emptiness, so much sadness, so much falsehood, so much deceit. But even where I am, I'm just so content with what I have. Me and Esther at home talk about it all the time. Like, we have everything we need and sometimes more, and it's not like we're begging or asking for it. It just comes. So I'm just so grateful for where I am. I'm so proud to be a widow of Brother Dominic, because I know the fight that he fought, and it doesn't make any sense to do anything else after being with him. It just doesn't click. I desire to see him one day, but my focus truly now is to be with the Father and to get clean, get purged, so much of it to be done, and to get just my mind straight and right with him daily, so that I'm not just for myself, but I know there's others behind me watching, and then the children that are there, I know that if I were to just think of myself, it would be selfish, but to know that this is an example that's just set out, and I desire to do it right in pleasing the Most High first. So I bless him, and I thank him. If you asked me if I would be here giving this testimony, I would have never thought it, but Yah is good, and where he says he will take care of Israel, he will. Just like he says the nursing mom would never forget to nurse her baby, that's what he's been for me. He's never left me. I don't feel forsaken. I don't feel lonely. He's with me every day in Israel. He daughters, my sisters, he's with you too, and I hope this testimony encourages everyone.
Beautiful. Thank you. Sister Jennifer?
You know, Sister Rachel, your testimony is so beautiful. Your words are always so encouraging and so full of life. And I just wanted to say that it truly takes a mature woman, a mature sister, to understand that she has to have a relationship with the Most High Yah. You know, there are women who think that they can just hang on the coattails of their husband's relationship with the Father and that they'll be okay. But that's not the case. You have to have your own personal relationship with the Father, because if that man leaves this earth, you still have to carry on. And so I love Sister Rachel's testimony, because it's just the truth. It really is. We have a righteous example in Sister Rachel, and thank you so much for sharing and for being so transparent with us. Sister Ashley?
Rachel's signing off.
Bless you all. Thank you, Mama Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So, all right, so you might say, how do I judge fruit? You know, how do I judge fruit? I never judged fruit before. Maybe, you know, there's that sister or that woman that is very gullible or over-trusting, or, you know, just believes everybody who says they're Israel, or everybody who promises that they're going to do good to her, et cetera. How do you judge fruit? Well, you hear what she says, and we see how she lives, and you hear her strength, and you hear her confidence, and that can't be fake. You know, that can't be said from a heart that doesn't sincerely live it, if that makes sense. So we're going to jump to an email of a woman who don't live it. Okay? Shalom. She says who she is. Now, with all respect, I would never give out her name, because she's coming to repentance. But this is an impactful email, and so I didn't want to refrain from, you know, reading it, even though that would probably be her last expectation. It says here, I'm asking that this email be forwarded to either Pastor Dow or Elder Becker. And with that request alone, there's a lot of honor that I even have in my own heart that I would not disclose who you were or share in any way. But because of the impact of your words, I do want to read it. So thank you, if I can say thank you, because I didn't even get your permission, my sister. But it says, first, let me say I was very wrong to obey an order to not to have fellowship with the saints. I allowed evil communications, false teachings, and viperous venom to confuse and corrupt my mind. It's so true what Pastor says about people who leave the congregation. They do it because they are rebellious and demonically controlled, and they want to be hearers of the word, but not doers of the word. And it's also so true when Pastor says the ones who leave are those who refuse to get deliverance and get free of demons. And then an offense comes in and easily takes them out. It was due to my own insecurities, rebellion, and rejection, and not being serious-minded enough or ready to give up my fleshly life. All right, so go back to the question I asked y'all earlier. How do I judge fruit? Okay, so you just heard Rachel's testimony. Now you're hearing this one. She says, I went through so much confusion. When there's envy and strife, there's every evil work and confusion. I tried to run from the truth but I cannot run away anymore. I cannot deny, nor will I deny, the authority and power of the Holy Spirit that I have witnessed at Straightway. I was in much despair because I knew I had found the truth when I came to Straightway. I knew I found Yah's remnant. Even though I knew this, I still had so much deep-rooted hatred towards Yah that when it was presented to me to not go back, I did not have a will to fight. Instead, I allowed depression to overtake me, and I wallowed in my own shit, and I used it as an excuse to return to the vomit of drugs. How do you say that? Kratom? Kratom, they say in the back. Thank you. Kratom. Which for myself may as well be heroin due to the effects of this legal herb. It was like I was back on a drug run. It's only because of His Holy Spirit that I have kept on listening to Shabbats and broadcasts, and I'm finding the courage to write this. It's only because of His Holy Spirit that I've not been left under deception. I did a lot of crying out and confessing and repenting. I begged the Father to please forgive me and get me clean. I did indeed grieve the Holy Spirit. I almost lost my faith altogether because I knew you all were for real. And I still had no desire in me to completely live in the example that I saw in all of His saints. I was discouraged, and I allowed wicked spirits to whisper, why even bother? Now, on the flip side, I've heard pastors' most recent videos about marriage and about how a wife should be towards her husband. What do I do in my situation? Well, here I am writing this email seeking godly advice because all of my own efforts in speaking to my husband are not working. I tried to talk to him and rebuke him in his strange teachings, and I get nowhere. I told him it was wrong and not a good idea to stop going the Straightway. I even told him it doesn't matter what we think or feel. These are people who are actually living the Bible more than anyone else. He doesn't agree with me, and because I do not agree with him and his ideas, I find that I am unable to be a good wife to him. He thinks he can find peace not being at Straightway, yet I have had no peace since I left. I do not reverence or honor him anymore the way a wife should. I find myself not even wanting him to speak to me about Jesus. I also am writing this behind his back, technically. That makes me no better than these other women who run to Christian pastors. So this is where the confusion sets in. I don't know if I'm supposed to just be a good wife and go along with him and continue to support him as the head of the house, or if I should just leave. He's not putting any hands on me, even when we argue. So really, I would be leaving because I no longer can be in agreement with him. I find myself wondering, am I unequally yoked with someone? It seems to me that the answer is yes, but due to myself battling with double-mindedness my whole life due to spiritual schizophrenia, I still do not trust my own thinking. And the Word says that we should not lean to our own understanding. I really need godly advice. I will follow godly advice. I've been miserable and depressed since I stopped coming to Straightway and Sabbath. I can't stop thinking about you all. I even have dreams about my sisters, and those are good dreams. I just desire to do what is pleasing and right unto the Father, and I just do not think I'm profiting him or myself any by being stuck in a confused mindset. I included these Bible verses because it fits with me. Evil communication corrupts good manners. The silly woman who is laden with sins, false teachings, and spirits of error will lead astray the simple. Give not what is holy unto dogs. Cast not your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet. These verses pretty much fit my situation. I've had all kinds of strange doctrine trying to be put into my head. I do not agree with any of it. I know who you all are. I witnessed Christ in you firsthand. I will not deny Christ and what the Father is doing with you all. I see the dangers of being affiliated with people who do not possess the Holy Spirit. I took the Most High for granted. I took the Word too lightly. I took my fellowship with the saints for granted. Please forgive me. I made a horrible, mortal error. I was deceived. I cannot do this without the saints, and I did not realize it before, but I need you all. Pastor Dow was right when he said that unsaved people were the ones who left. When I obeyed that order, I had no idea who I was. I had no faith, no confidence in Jesus Christ because I was still in so much sin. I was going through the motions, but I didn't comprehend nor understand. I know who I am now. I can hear the Holy Spirit in the preaching and the teachings coming forth out of Straightway, and that's the issue. I can hear and understand, and it terrifies me when someone I'm yoked with does not hear or understand the same way. All right, I'm concluding this, y'all. My sister, stick with me. It says, I understand the seriousness of this war. I understand how important it is to not touch or be around the unclean thing. Please forgive me. I was allowing fear, depression, grief, and just wickedness to control me. That's why it took me so long to actually reach out to ask for godly advice. I will not live like this anymore. My mind is made up. I become miserable in my sin and my poor, sinful choices. I just want to choose this by saying you all are the most beautiful, righteous, holy people I have ever met. I'm working with the Father to continue to work on my heart to cleanse me. I'm desperate to be clean. I'm filthy. I no longer want to be associated with anyone who does not possess the Ruach HaKodesh. I've also been praying for the Father to deliver me out of this situation because I desire to be back with the saints. I've had to listen in secret, and during the past few months, I've not gotten to be alone much. So when I'm alone, I listen to the services and the broadcasts. I miss you all so much. It's my desire, be it the Father's will, for me to get back in fellowship with you all and to receive the deliverance I so badly need. If you're able to help me and to offer advice on what I can or should do, please, can you contact me? She leaves her number. She leaves her email, and she says, thank you so much for taking time to read this. Thank you for understanding, and shalom. Jennifer, off top, what's your thoughts?
Sister Ashley, you know, when I think about the Most High, he is, he truly is so faithful. And once we commit ourselves to him and we truly commit to have a relationship with him and we commit to his covenant, you know, it really is on us to keep that commitment because he never, ever will break covenant with us. And once that happens, your lifestyle actually becomes the example. His hand of protection is actually upon you once you have committed yourself to him. So if you're finding yourself in a situation that it seems that you just can't get out of, or it seems like you're stuck, then really evaluate your lifestyle, you know, evaluate your life and fully commit yourself to him, not just in word, but in your heart and in your life, you know, in everything that you do every day, in your thoughts, in your mind. Don't allow the devil to have access to you in your thoughts where he can just continually beat you up and you can stay in a state of condemnation that can pull you back into just worldly ways, but really fully commit to the Most High Yah, and your lifestyle is what will become the example, and you will see his protective hand on you, but you have to have that commitment to his covenant first and foremost. Sister Ashley?
Very good. So you have to have the commitment to his covenant first. Second, you must fast. I mean, we all must fast, right? So I'm not leading you astray. You must fast. You're in a situation where I can't come pick you up. Wouldn't anyway, right? Pastor's not coming to pick you up. Elder Becker's not coming to pick you up. No one's literally physically delivering you from what is your own tormentors. Let's say, for example, that the Father said, I'm going to use this situation in this marriage to chastise you. And at the end of this, let's say 7 years, then I'll release you. Are you willing to stick it out with the Father? Day in, day out, day in, day out. Are you willing to pray, fast, stay committed to the Father? Because he has an endless covenant with you, regardless of circumstances or scenarios of hate, false doctrine, whatever. Yes, a lot of crying out. Yes, a lot of confessing. Yes, a lot of repenting. Yes, a lot of emotions. But this is going to require something more out of you than you've ever been able to produce. And you still haven't even proven to yourself that you're able to produce it. It's going to take meekness, quietness, shutting your mouth, Ask him to put a hedge around you. Ask him not to allow the things into your spirit that you are unable to hear, meaning false doctrine. You know, be very, pray about you, you, and you, not him, not with your finger pointed out, not what he's doing. It's how you can handle it. It's what you can do when it happens.
Sister Ashley, I'm sorry
yes.
to interrupt. If I could interject, we have Pastor, I believe, in the calling queue right now. If you could answer his call.
Forgive me for having you wait. No, I don't see it at all.
Okay,
sorry,
if you
sir.
Could just be on the lookout for it.
Absolutely. Okay, and sure, thank you, because I didn't have that screen on, so I'll wait for that call. That'd be great. And I would love to hear from them. So honestly, I'm speechless. Let me just go to a ministry break. When I see the number, I'm going to pick it up. My sisters, hold tight.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. 688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others, so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives, so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ, just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Hallelujah, just looking for my shepherd's number. I don't see it yet, so obviously you're not going to get better advice than his. That's why it leaves me speechless. A lot of these scenarios, we would always pass to the higher up, just like she even requested in her email. So there we go. I got one. Let's see if it's him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Could it be? Shalom, beloved pastor. Is it you, Shepherd, sir?
Hey, shalom, shalom, Sister Ashley.
Bless you, sir. Go ahead. We hear you loud and clear.
All right. Well, again, here's another situation where someone, it seems like that they're bound, but there is a freedom clause according to Torah in this. And that's why the Apostle Saul said, I speak to them that know the law. There's an ambiguity that enters into the decision, though, and there's a reason for everything that's going on here. So let me try to be very clear in my speech and what I'm saying. You know, the law, it speaks very clearly concerning the advantage and the disadvantage. the advantage and the disadvantage. The people that have the advantage are the ones that are in authority, who are, by law, according to law, designed to have a higher moral character, and in those who are walking in step with Yah. I think the first thing needs to be established clearly is what type of false doctrine would this husband be? Because in today's world and society, with the comprehension and understanding that we have, most women who are bound, or at least they believe that they are bound, by a head or a husband that goes away from the teachings or the rules and guidelines that are clearly laid out in Scripture and in Torah, they feel like they have literally no way out. But that ain't what the book says. And that's the reason why Paul, again, I keep reiterating, I say it again and again, to speak to them that know the law. Just because a man has, by divine fiat, a right authority over his ishaya or over his wife, does not mean that just because he has authority over her that he has the right to abuse his authority, an abuse of a power. And I'll preface that by giving two examples. In the law, it speaks clearly, and we hear it over and over and over again, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And basically what it's saying is, it's speaking about a greater and a lesser, a greater infraction and a lesser infraction. I'll give an example. If a man has a servant or slave, now mind you, before I go into this, people have to understand the way that the Torah or the law works. Anytime something that starts at the base level, and that law is pertaining to those of a lower status, and a slave is considered to be a lower status than a child, which is considered a man's property, or a concubine, which is also considered a man's property, or an ishaya, which is also considered a man's property. But you can see that the order, or the chain of command, or the pecking order, it goes up. But it starts judgment at the lowest level. And if judgment pertains that to the lowest level, then that judgment is true all the way up the chain. So when a man is in a position of advantage, like a head is, and he begins to abuse his particular authority because of advantage, then the law explicitly is against him in all matters. It's just that people today don't know how to interpret. So when you go down to the part where if a servant or a master smites the eye of a servant out, the Torah commands and demands that this particular servant, no matter how much time that he had allotted in his indentured servitude to the master, he's commanded to be free, to let go free. All right. Also, if a master or someone or a master that's in charge of a servant smites his tooth, again, the way that the Torah sees this is, again, freedom is the deliverance of this. Also, if a man, I want everybody to listen to me very closely, runs away from an abusive master, according to our law, according to Torah, you can forget about American history because they're way, way off, and of course those people are going to pay for this. But if a man runs away from an abusive master, he may choose, talking about the slave, to go into whatever tribe that he see fit, and that tribe, according to the law, is charged by the commandment that he cannot return that slave back to the abusive master, but that slave is to be revered, to be respected inside of that tribe, to be received and accepted in. And this is the reason why when people are out there in these type of relationships, to where someone has done moved off into false doctrine and moved off into a particular position to where now their soul is in jeopardy because they feel like that they're bound by this particular man and they no longer have desire. Paul prefaced that when he says that, you know, if they have no longer a desire to dwell or abide with them. All right. they can depart. All right, but and also Paul gives the stipulation that if you depart, let them remain unmarried. Now, the only way that that provision of being unmarried can be fulfilled to where she could be free again in reference to the entitlement of being married is if that man that she was with, providing that they have produced what is commonly called today, even though the Torah doesn't speak that way, a ketubah or a contract. If there's no contract, it's just a word, and nobody was there to actually to witness this marriage ceremony. That's the reason why straightway we usually don't recognize marriages, just because two people get together and say, well, I'm married and you married. Even Yahshua witnessed a marriage at Canaan. And the whole sole purpose of that is so that people could bear witness to the union that has been put together. And so that all will know. So, you know, when people run around boyfriend, girlfriend, and then all of a sudden they call themselves married because they come to the faith, it sounds like we have what you call an illicit sexual union here, but that's neither here nor there. Let's go back to what I was speaking about. But what happens is if they depart, she's commanded to remain unmarried. Now, she doesn't have a bill of divorce, providing that that was some type of an agreement made, that people could bear witness to the agreement, that the agreement was made. Then she's actually can actually be free, but that doesn't mean that no matter where she goes in Israel, that somebody has to absorb her or somebody has to actually become physically responsible for her, because we don't live back in the times of the Exodus where we're all next to each other in a tribal situation. But if you do have a brother or a sister that is willing, meaning i.e. a responsible covenant family, a Hebrew family that could actually take her in to be able to give her refuge as from running away from an abusive situation. Because it's just like when the Most High Yah told us over in Leviticus 20, he gave us instructions to when you go over into this land, don't you do like these people do, don't you serve like they do. And then even if anyone entices you to go out and to serve another god, or another Elohim, or another mighty one, then you're ought not to do that. Of course, we know back then the penalty was death. And, of course, now the only way we can actually do that is separation. So what we have here is we have an advantage and disadvantage. And so this slave that actually left a toxic situation, the tribe had to absorb that particular slave, and that slave could go to whatever tribe or whatever place that they had, providing, you know, back then they had tents and everything, that they could actually take care of them. And this was considered refuge, or in today's terminology, call it a city or refuge. Nobody in the position of disadvantage should ever feel like that there is not a righteous law there to protect them from unjust husbands, unjust rulers, unjust leaders, because it's there. But it can't be determined that this person is unjust just because she said so. That is her side of the story. And the law teaches us that one witness shall not rise up against another. Now, apparently we are dealing with an oxymoron here, because it doesn't seem like that this man is in the faith. He's wrestled with this particular, whatever it is, false doctrines for a long period of time. It's obvious that a soul is vexed. And if a soul is that vexed, if that man is willing to come to judgment with the elders and hear his side of here, so we can hear his side of the story, which I probably would submit in this particular situation that he's not interested in actually speaking to anyone, then basically there's nothing that he can do if that woman decides to depart to save her soul. And then we have to go on from there, because in this wicked world of promiscuous and promiscuity and stuff, people are running around doing their own things and doing their own deeds and stuff. But if it's going to be done properly, if she's planning on trying to save herself from a man that obviously has advantage and is using the word nefariously against her because she feels like she's trapped in disadvantage, and if he is unwilling to actually come before to Israel for adjudication, then in my estimate, and basically what I can gather from the lesser to the greater, and from the disadvantage to the advantage, and then from to the judges, is that she has every right, if this man does not want to come and actually speak about this matter, she has every single right, and I'll use modern day terminology, to kick the traces and be free of an unjust ruler or an unjust head. All right, that's all I had to say, Sister Ashley.
Thank you so much, Shepherd, for the understanding. I know you spoke very clearly, sir. Thank you so much for the direction and for listening in tonight. Shalom to you and your Ashas.
Shalom.
Hallelujah. Well, she got an answer. She got an answer. So maybe one of these nights when she's listening in or tucked in her closet or hiding away, look at the love. Look at the Father, huh? Hallelujah. Let's go to the ministry break. I'll be right back. All right, my sister, shalom again. We are back. We got one more email to answer tonight, and we'll probably call it a show. You know we love to call the show after Pastor comes on anyway, so we considered cutting it early. We got an email we want to answer, so let's put it out there. Here we go. Would you, Sister Jennifer, like to read it? Would you like me to? Direct me, please. Sister Jennifer, are you on mute? All right, my sister Jennifer, I can't hear you. I'm going to read this email. It says, Shalom, my sister. I pray all is well with you. I just want to express how much the Most High Yah has truly blessed my life since listening to Pastor Charles Dow, your sister and sister broadcaster, and gleaning from the plethora of wisdom and knowledge that is presented on the Straightway website. Thank you so much for your diligence and obedience to the Most High Yah in sharing what you have learned and are learning with so many of us. All right, hold on. Give me a second, got a text. Let me know. All right, back to the email. I'll make this email as short as I possibly can, but I have such a great testimony that I cannot possibly write it all in one email. I did not initially come to the knowledge of my Hebrew Israelite heritage through Pastor Dow. Hallelujah. Y'all are so good. Y'all hear me? Y'all are good. We got somebody tuned in, Shepherd, tonight that is blessed by what you said. It's not even the sister that wrote the letter. But I guess this similar situations, she got an answer from Yah. All right, so I did not initially come to the knowledge of my Hebrew Israelite heritage through Pastor Dow's teaching, but since being led to hear Pastor Dow, I have not been able to, nor have I wanted to go back and listen to the few morays that I first listened to when I renounced Christianity and the pagan lifestyle that I was living in a little over 2 years ago. I came across one of Pastor Dow's YouTube videos sometime in September of 2018, and I've not stopped listening since. I must say that when I initially heard him speak with such boldness and authority, I was taken back at first, and I resisted. But the Ruach kept leading me back to watch more and more. Then I began searching the scriptures and praying more earnestly for truth in my inward parts. So here I am. Hallelujah. My testimony is somewhat like that of Elder Rufus, in that I, too, was very sincere in Christianity, and I loved Yah with every fiber of my being. But I knew also in my heart that something just wasn't quite right. As a Christian woman, I believe that the Most High had called me to preach. I was licensed and ordained to do so back in 2002. I studied my Bible every day, and I took that calling very seriously. It was no small matter to me, and I wanted my life to be an example of what I preached. So since coming to the knowledge of the truth, I no longer believe that I'm called to preach and that women are not to usurp authority over men. I didn't fully understand that then because I truly believe that the Most High Yah called me and taught me. I'm sorry that I don't really have a point that I'm trying to make. I just want to live in holiness and righteousness with the Father, and I wanted to write to you and encourage you to continue to do the work of the Most High Yah, because I'm one who has absolutely benefited from your wisdom and knowledge of the scriptures, your willingness and obedience to the Most High Yah, as well as your diligence and perseverance in teaching and instructing the daughters of Zion. Thank you so much for all you do and the example that you and the women of Straight Wing Ministries have set before us. It is a high calling to attain to, and you all have set the bar extremely high so that we are without excuse in pressing to be all that, Yah has called us to be as daughters of Sarah and chase keepers at home, no matter what else our lives entail. I love you, my sisters. I pray that one day soon we'll meet face to face. I have so much more to talk about to glorify the Father, but I'll save those testimonies for another time. I'm writing this email with such gladness of heart and also with some sadness of heart because I have not yet met you all face to face. There have been times when I literally lie in my bed at night and cry much tears of longing to be with my true family. As Yeshua has said, who is my mother, my brother, my sister, but those who do the will of the Father? So yes, I have natural family members, but as of yet, I'm the only one who has accepted the truth. And I do my very best to follow the Torah of Yah and being an example of grace and humility to my family. I do got a couple of questions, if I may, if you think they would be beneficial to others. I'm okay with you sharing them on the broadcast. That's completely up to you. Question number one. All right, so we just got two questions. Question number one. How do I get free from the torment of knowing that my three granddaughters, 11, 6, and 3, are being reared in witchcraft? Let me explain. I'm 56 years old. My oldest son, 34 years old, is married to a woman who has taking the role of the head of the house simply because she's a career woman who works outside the home and refuses to submit to my son. She harbors the Jezebel spirit with pride. However, my son has not exactly stepped up to be the man and taken the authority over his household either. They're both in error, and for the majority of their marriage, she's been the breadwinner while he is a stay-at-home dad. I know, completely out of order. She puts in all caps. I try to give them both sound wisdom, but they reject it and say that this works for them. It is not them that torments me. It's my granddaughters who are going to suffer, and they're suffering from this witchcraft-ran household. I cannot do anything about it, so I'm asking how to be free from the torment of watching my granddaughters being misled. Any advice you can give, I receive. Thank you and bless you. That's question number one. Jennifer, open it up.
Sister Ashley, you know, when I think about question number one, I can honestly say that, you know, me giving this advice is really from personal experience. I have a son who is 30 years old. He has a wife and he has a newborn baby. And there are things that I see in their home that don't match up with the way that we live our lives here, you know. But I would never speak on that because that is that man's house. And he may be my son, but he is still the head of his home. And, you know, like she said, it may be painful to watch, but you have to learn how to separate yourself. That's why the word tells us to save yourself. You know, you can't go around saving everybody else. You have to really work on saving yourself. And you have to learn how to break the soul ties and separate yourself so that you don't get tormented emotionally by watching the pain of, you know, what's being done or what's not being done or what's out of order or, you know, what have you. But you have to learn how to break those soul ties and how to disconnect emotionally and how to be the example that you need to be. You know, if those grandchildren need to see a holy, righteous grandma, then so be it. And if they don't get to see that example, then so be it. But whatever the Father's will is in that situation, you have to be okay with that. So, you know, it just really takes maturing, the Father to really mature you to get to that level of understanding what save yourself really means. And then you don't have the torment. You know, you don't go to bed at night or you don't just lay awake at night thinking about how out of order his home is or just, you know, whatever's going on. It's his home. So you have to learn how to break those soul ties and how to focus on your relationship with the Father and what he is doing in your life. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So in short, the answer is it's not your jurisdiction or your authority, so you really got to stay out of it, period. But maybe you know that, and maybe you're being tormented and oppressed by spirits because of the soul ties. Let me take you to 1 John 3:13 and 14. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Okay? So there's a world in them, and now you've been brought to the light. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loved not his brother abides in death. So now, your focus has to be Israel. Your focus has to be Israel. We are in such need of women of your age being examples to us. With tears, I could say it to you. We are in need of mothers and grandmothers. But the majority of mothers and grandmothers are caught up in their families. And I don't know, maybe the torment comes from a sin that's rooted in your hatred for the woman that he married. So you have to look at issues that might be in your own heart. You know, always putting that mirror before yourself, you know, looking at the, as Pastor says, the heart of the matter. You know, I'm trying to talk to a lot of people as I answer you. I call you mom as well because you're old enough to be my mom. And we have to connect dots in the spiritual world, you know, with why we think the way we think or why something's oppressing or tormenting, why it's speaking the way it's speaking. You know, the whole network of Satan inside of you is like, I always liken it to a ball of yarn. And everything is neatly and tightly connected. So you have to unravel that. You have to get to the bottom of things. So you being a grandmother and caring so much means that you're weakened in the spirit by being around these very young girls. And so something in you clicks, the Father himself, the spirit clicks inside of you and says, I'm not going to be weakened by this anymore. Because this is going to take me and, you know, make a separation between me and the Father. I know I've met a lot of grandmothers since coming to the way. And they're so easily influenced by their biological family. They still have such a desire to control a relationship that they're not even, as I said, by jurisdiction or authority, allowed to even involve themselves in. You can look at Mama Nellie as a great example, because obviously being a very different scenario, you have her daughter who's married to our elder, and elder will say to his daughter, go ask your mom. And so Mama Nellie will get involved when she's asked. When you look at your family and go, do they care for you? Do they love you? Do they seek your counsel? So your affections are not set on things above. And I know it's very hurtful because you love these girls, but hey, I had Diane encourage me a long time ago and say, Yah has kept us. Yah will always keep his. If anyone in that family belongs to Yah, Yah will do the keeping. He'll do the orchestrating, he'll do the protecting and all that. So you renounce your control, you know. Maybe you desire to want to take them away. Maybe you need to renounce that. Maybe that's a sin, meaning there's sin in you that is giving you that voice. See, all of our voices are our oppressions. They are demonic entry from doorways that you allow. So what about, maybe there's a pain of what you taught them, you taught your son. Maybe there's a regret, you know. Maybe there's a regret and a pain inside of you that you harbor now that you've come to the light and you look back and you go, wow, I'm 56 and I've been living a lie. But you know, the awesome thing that can come out of that is that because, as I said, we're in need of great mothers, you can pour into Israel. That's why I shared 1 John 3:13-14. You are to love the brethren. You are to focus more on the brethren. You are to pour into someone that is not your biological family, that by spirit is your family. Pastor did a video today, Ho a New Row, you know, Ho a New Row, so that your future isn't like your past. You know, if these children are not in harm bodily, if they're being fed, if they're living their own life, you don't want to be tormented by any other god, that someone would take so much of your time and attention away from you serving the Most High Yah. And that's the weakness of us as women. We're so emotionally connected to everything we see, feel, and I can't imagine, I say mom to you because I have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old. I don't come from experience, but I do come from a fruitful ministry of people walking away from everything that they once knew and gaining great peace. And so many grandmothers long for their biological family. When we have fatherless children here in the ministry that need attention, need love, we have orphans even, motherless and fatherless children, we have abandoned sisters, you know, neglected, maybe wives who were forsaken by their husbands, etc. We have, and then on the flip side, we have beautiful, precious children. They would all love you. They would love you. So you determine in your heart that you're going to love Israel and you're going to pour into someone that's receptive of the truth, and you're no longer going to hold on to what Satan is wanting you to hold on to, which is those who are connected out of your own flesh and blood that you see with great sadness. So I hope that encourages you. I have this is a young man, most of you would not know him, his name is Josh. It's a 4-minute clip, 5 minutes maybe. He's a fatherless boy, okay? I'll let him share his story, but he found the way through his father. And I'm subscribed to his channel. I always tell, you know, my family, Israel sisters, to support him, subscribe, like him, follow him. He plays music just to support such a young man. These 20-year-olds coming behind us are so pure and determined to serve the Father that we can learn from them. So let me play this clip for you and show you, as a fatherless child within this ministry, what his testimony is. Now, we heard tonight from a widow in the ministry. Now we're going to hear from a fatherless child And none of us are biologically connected, but only by spirit. Okay, so here we go.
Shalom, shalom. This is Brother Joshua here. Excuse me. And Casey, I want to get on here and share the experience of the last 3 years of being fatherless. So I'm going to bring y'all back to me coming to the knowledge of the truth. I came into the knowledge of the truth about 12 years old. God filled the Holy Spirit at that age as well, 12 or 13. And I don't remember my childhood. I had amnesia. So childhood memories, they're gone. All I remember are traumas. Now to speed it up, when my father had passed, I was 16. After he passed, I was reminded of, you know, really the spirit of the Most High, the peace. He comforted me. The Holy Spirit, it comforted me. The peace is just it's indescribable. So after my father had passed, it was more so for me, and still is to a certain extent, learning how to grow in this day and age as a true man of Yah, because that's my soul's intent and my heart's desire is to uphold righteousness and righteousness alone until the breath goes out of my body. So fast forward to this last year, you know, the biggest impact for me is number one, that's been had upon me. Number one is the love of the Most High Yah, that as I continue to obey the commands of the Father and seek Him first and foremost, His kingdom, His love, you know, is impacting me greatly. Just the fact knowing that the Most High Yah, He will chastise me when I'm wrong. He's being a father to me. So the love from the Most High Yah is the biggest impact. But I'm going to say having the shepherds that I have, Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey, you know, the elders, a lot of you men, if it wasn't for y'all, I wouldn't be who I am today. In this video, I'm going to speak specifically about Pastor Corey, though. You know, he's been an extreme blessing to me personally, from chastisement to sit down talks, and man, words can't explain how thankful I am just to have a shepherd down here in KC that truly loves the Most High Yah and is willing to lead and guide, you know, the sheep, man. And I'm just thankful. I really am thankful, man. He's been impacted, man. He really has. The biggest thing I could say that's impacted me from him is the example that's been set. You know, that man is truly striving wholeheartedly to walk upright, to live in a righteous manner that's pleasing to the Most High Yah. And just the fact I have men like him around me in the ministry, that has, example, Kabir, that has forsaken all to love the Most High, to enter into the kingdom. They really have forsaken all. That's a huge impact on my soul, because that's the love that I continue to run after. And that's the strength I continue to follow, are those that, like Pastor Dow, those that continue to walk in such a manner that they will lead, you know, sheep as myself and as a lot of you to the kingdom of the Most High Yah just by the example alone. You know, I'm thankful for the ministry. I'm thankful for the older men they poured into me this last previous year. But overall, I give all honor, glory, and praise to the Most High Yah, because if it wasn't for His Holy Spirit that's filled me and that has continued to lead and guide me this last year and, you know, correct me, chastise me, I don't know where I'll be. But overall, I'm thankful. Short video, but I just wanted to get on here and share a quick testimony. Bless y'all. Bless you, my shepherds, Pastor Dow, Pastor Corey, all the elders, all my brothers. I appreciate y'all, you know, being a righteous example for me, specifically my generation. And I'm letting y'all know I'm going to follow wholeheartedly. So glory to the King. I love y'all. Bless y'all. Shalom.
Ain't that beautiful? We can have a you know, the title alone of the video says Life of the Fatherless, Year 3. And he could have just gripped all our emotions, couldn't he? I mean, he could have told endless stories of his nights of loneliness or his thoughts of his father, of his traumas, of his past, of his how he longs for his dad. But he didn't. We see the victorious, conquering, overcoming testimony of the righteous. You hear Rachel, who could captivate us. She could have had me over here boohooing with what she's really been through in secret with the father. So why does that even, you know, why does this fatherless boy or this child, and why does this widow, what does all that mean? We are a family. We are brethren. We are lovers of one another. And we forsake all. The command to be in this family is to forsake all. So we would never say, stop loving your family of the world. That's not the message. That may never happen depending on how deeply rooted they are into their unbelief. You may never stop loving your grandchildren. Pray for them endlessly, always, that just as Yah has kept you, even as a 56-year-old, that he somehow got you, found you, as he kept me, that he'll also maybe keep your grandchildren. But until then, you're breaking soul ties and you're forsaking all. Because the torment alone represents a host of things that oppose Yah's kingdom. Hallelujah. So we have to be taught how to think. We have to be taught how to, you're trained how to think, trained who our family is, you know, to really come out. All right. So I think Jennifer's back with me. Jennifer, what's your thoughts?
Sister Ashley, you know, one thing that I wanted to point out was, you brought it up, was, you know, forgiveness. If you have raised children the wrong way, you've raised them in Christianity, or you haven't raised them in the truth, whatever it is, you have to first and foremost forgive yourself. But, you know, go to them and say, you know what? What I taught you, I'm learning, was actually a lie. You know, go to them and let them know that what you taught them, the way that you raised them, it was a lie, and that you are actually walking in the right way. And then you give them the opportunity to follow that or not. But you don't need to continue to go back and send them scripture, or send them links to videos, or, you know, ask them, well, did you watch the link that I sent you? And no, you move forward in the truth. You forgive yourself. And that way you won't have to deal with the torment at all. And that way the devil won't have a foothold in your life. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So we have one phone call. I'm going to take this one phone call, and then I'm going to end the show playing a clip. Okay? So that's the plans. I'm not going to take any more calls at this point. But let's go to West Virginia. West Virginia, area code 304. Shalom, is it you, Sister Linda?
Shalom, Sister Ashley. Shalom, Sister Jennifer. Shalom, everyone. It's Angela talking about me. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so, so much. Everything you said is true. So I just desire your prayers for me in that area. And the last comment that Sister Jennifer made about forgiving myself for, like I said, the teachings that I taught them. It's just, you know, I guess I have gone to them and said, you know, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I thought I was teaching the right thing. I thought I knew the right thing. But now I do know the truth. And I think that's part of it, Sister Jennifer, was the fact that I hadn't forgiven myself, and I didn't know how to, you know, I guess, like you said, I just need to give it to Yah, because if he opened my eyes and he unstopped my ears and he opened my heart that I could understand and see and hear, I just have to believe that he'll do it for whom he has chosen.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, if he hasn't chosen them, you know, I hear pastors preach all the time about if Yah's not dealing with someone, if he's not dealing with them, you know, it's just like you said. Everything you said was so edifying, and it always is. It always is. So edifying, so encouraging. And I just wanted to say thank you. I couldn't just listen. I was almost just listening to but I couldn't just listen because I wanted you to know that the Ruach literally spoke through both of you. And the testimonies, it all made sense. It all makes sense. And it's all things, like you said, that I already know. I just need strength. I need deliverance. I need connection. I literally don't have anyone to talk to about the truth.
I just wanted
to say thank you.
I thank you for your example of humility, and I wanted to give you James 4. It says, submit yourself therefore to Yah, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to Yah, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm getting to my point. It says, be afflicted and mourn. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So if you do all these things, he shall lift you up. But I appreciate you staying humble, being an example for us tonight, calling in, saying thank you, and being humble before the sight of Yah, that you're willing to admit and to cleanse yourself so that he may purify your heart. I bless you. I thank you. You will have the connections that you need. I promise you. You can call the dining hall and leave your name and message for me, and I will have someone perfect for you contact you.
Thank you so much. Bless you all.
Bless you. Good night.
Bless you.
Hallelujah. Glad we took the call. All right, Sister Jennifer, from your end, I just want you to wrap it up and take as much time as you need to wrap up any of your thoughts. I want to end with a very, encouraging clip from a Shabbat service. So anything you have to say, my sister, go right ahead and share.
You know, Sister Ashley, I just wanted to say that the Father has really put us into such a beautiful family, a family that we didn't choose, a family that He chooses. And it's wonderful to be able to not have control, to really give up the control that we've operated in for so long and to operate in His will, you know, without trying to manipulate anything, but to really learn what it is or what it means to fully surrender ourselves to Him. And so the family that He's placed us in is truly beautiful. And again, we would not have chosen this family, but this is the perfect family for us. We wouldn't have chosen each other, and you know, we wouldn't even have chosen ourselves, but He does all things so very well. And that's why he's such a loving Yah, and it's an honor to belong to Him. And we have to really keep it in our minds to serve those who are striving to do the work of the kingdom just like we are. So we have to support one another, and it's beautiful that we have each other, and it's a blessing just to be here with you all. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Sister Jennifer, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. If you just want to enjoy listening to this last clip, it might go 5 minutes, it might go a little bit longer, but this is from 11/9/19 service on Brother Daryl's channel. It's Pastor Dow talking about the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you as we end tonight's show, as you hopefully have all been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you haven't, that you would still long for it, and that those of us who do have it would never forget some of these priceless words and messages that encourage us to speak in tongues at all times. And that if you're having any battles or rough dead season, going through anything, remember, speak in tongues. I bless y'all. Thank y'all for listening in. I'm going to turn this on for you now. Let's hear our shepherd one more time. Thanks to Shepherd for even listening tonight and calling in. And hallelujah. Yah is so well. He always puts these shows together. All right. Here we go.
Important on this journey to the kingdom. After conversion, most of us find ourselves keenly aware of our heart. And our hearts still carry shadows of our past. Is that right? You get filled with the Holy Spirit, but your past still remains. It haunts you every day, don't it? The scars of life are still there. And Satan uses it to condemn you daily, to remind you that you still, even after conversion, you still have hope. You ain't gonna make it. Huh? So he spends time still in joy, still in peace. Is that right? So from our past, we deal with rejections and fears and hurts. When we come to the faith, we realize we no longer have to hide or be afraid. We are not afraid to sing praises to Yah. The Holy Spirit is what helps us to overcome. After the new birth, we become bold concerning the faith. And we become powerful proclaiming the real Jesus, the real one. Not the other one that's that imposter that's out there. So, here are a few things we need to understand and know we need to comprehend. Tongues, a commandment from Yahshua. Did y'all hear that? A commandment. Is it the Ten Commandments? No. It's a commandment from Yahshua. You know what I mean? Because he constantly, progressively giving us knowledge and wisdom as we go forward. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for all if I pray. If who pray? I pray, meaning you as an individual. But that means you have to be proactive. Are you following? That means you still got to overcome your flesh to be able to do what? Pray. That's why it says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, what is really praying, though? Oh, hold on. You get that? See, if you just open up and give forth the effort, the book is letting you know that your spirit is praying. You get that? But your understanding is unfruitful, meaning you don't comprehend and understand what you're saying. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayer. What praise? So not what you're hearing out of your ears when you hear your mouth. Because you are a spirit. Yah is a spirit. Are you following me? So you have to get the understanding or the comprehension that when you open up your mouth, you speak in tongues, it's your spirit that prayeth. You get that? But your understanding is unfruitful. So what is it then? I will pray with the, that means you're in unison with the Spirit, because see, while you're praying, there's the Spirit, you in conjunction with the Spirit, speaking, saying something. I will pray with the understanding also. Is that what it says? All right, we'll get to that. And I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. We're going to get to that. All right? In this entire chapter, the apostle said at the end of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, look what he says. For all the people who have opposition against all these spiritual things, if you follow me. Or let's just say at the end of the whole book, because over in 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. There are 9 of them. And then as it stands today, we've got like probably close to 700 people that was here, but maybe only about 10 operating out of the gifts. That's a false balance. He didn't give you the Spirit just so that you can just sing and dance. Are you getting it? All right? But the apostle Saul said at the end of this particular chapter right here, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the what? So all that he wrote in reference to speaking in tongues are the commandments of the Messiah. And people want to be on the fence about whether you should receive it or not. And so when you go over to John 7 chapter verse 38, he talks about receiving the Holy Spirit. It's all over the place. Paul still speaks this way when he is ministering to the assembly at Rome. Listen to this. Likewise, the what? Spirit helpeth our what? Infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we what? Isn't that something? So we could have infirmities, things working on the inside of us that we have no idea what's going on, but the Spirit does. So if you don't open up your mouth and you don't pray with the Spirit, then the Spirit can't reveal to you mysteries, and the Spirit can't tell you what the infirmity is that you are familiar with. Y'all see the wisdom of it? So just because you don't have any understanding because it's unfruitful, that doesn't mean the Spirit don't know. So sometimes you gotta pray through enough so that until it comes to the revelation of it. Now making sense. So you pray through it till the revelation comes, because your natural mind, your carnal mind, your natural understanding has no clue. So you have to be in conjunction. You have to be in agreement with the Spirit to bring the things that you have no idea what the infirmity could be, so he can bring it to your attention, and then you can possibly deal with it. Does that make sense? That way you won't be destroyed for lack of knowledge. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Y'all getting that? See, we pray every day with natural understanding, don't we? We do that all the time. But there's something else going on that the Father's always trying to keep us ahead of the game. Does that make sense? He's trying to keep us ahead of the game. So he says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But look what he says right here. But the Spirit itself, what does the Spirit do? Maketh intercession for us. Stop. But how can the Spirit make an intercession for you if you don't open your mouth to pray? Is that making sense? How can the Spirit make intercession when you won't even give him the vehicle, the avenue, the access? Exactly. To where your request that you're not even familiar with and don't even know of could be made known. And so watch this. And because there is a deep prayer where you can get to the point where it says, for us with groaning. Most of you ain't never been there. And if a religious person saw you, they would ask, what's wrong with you? See what I mean? Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yah. It's not subject to Yah. Neither indeed can be. You get it? So, but the Spirit itself make an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be what? The Spirit makes groanings at others which cannot be uttered. What do you mean can't be uttered? Well, I'm speaking in tongues, but you're not uttering. It's the Spirit. He needs access. How many times have we heard, he knows what we have need of before we even, but he tells you to ask and it shall be. So there are some things you need to ask for that you don't even know. Oh, let's give another one here. They that are led by the of Yah are thee. Well, how can you be led by the Spirit of Yah when you don't give him access? You don't give him place to lead you. We sing the song of Zion, where he leads me, I will follow. But as long as you got your hand on the steering wheel, right? Another aspect of speaking in tongues. Let the book speak. Is it always we let the book speak? Through our philosophy and logic and reasoning? The miracle always started in the hearing, which at that time they called it the wonderful works of Yah. And you know how many people want the wonderful works of Yah nowadays? Not many. Very few, just a remnant. Acts 2:11 says, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues or languages the wonderful works of, so the miracle was in the hearing, the wonderful works of Yah. See, critics who are demonically infested always attack the very works of Yah. Israel, you've got to learn these scriptures so that you will know when Satan is using someone to attack you through a family member, through a friend, or through a foe, or even your own self. But it takes spiritual focus. Hear that? Laser sharp focus. We're going to cover the majority of the day from the scripture version, all right?
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.